It's the last Saturday of the month. Goodness me, the year is flying by. So it's time once again for The Last Thing. You know the drill. It's a segment where we find out the last great concert or the last great TV series or the last great book a guest has enjoyed. Earlier in the programme, we were talking about Barnaby Joyce shouting at his dog on ABC's 7:30. So we thought we'd speak to the presenter who was conducting that viral interview. Sarah Ferguson, thanks so much for joining us on the programme.
Very pleased to be here.
Sarah, I feel that we should check, first of all, there aren't any errant pets in the background, aren't there, that we need to be aware of?
You know, the eternal question, is there an errant pet or is it an errant pet of the imagination?
What a moment. Barnaby Joyce yelling at his dog, Stella. I mean, that must count as one of the kind of weirder moments you've had on live television.
Don't you love the thing during an interview when something completely mad happens and your face is entirely in control and you continue with the interview because that's all you do? We stay on a track. We may listen and move along with the questions, but you've got to stay on track when inside you're going, what on earth is happening here? What's about to happen? Even worse, how could this unfold? I have no idea, but I'll carry on as if this is a perfectly normal interruption from a staffy border collie cross, as it turns out.
That's not a good combination, right? I mean, that's trouble.
Well, I think,
trouble from the start.
I think that's right, and I think that may be part of it, because that's a very busy dog that wants a lot of attention. So maybe because Barnaby Joyce was out during the day doing his Defend Pauline Hanson routine, maybe the staffy border collie cross didn't get enough of a walk, and then.
Now, being the great inquisitor that you are, you actually preempted my next question, and it was going to be simply that. I mean, when this was happening, I mean, what's going on inside? I mean, are you thinking, oh my goodness, we got another viral moment here? Yeah, you're kind of trying to concentrate on the next question so you don't lose your line of thought.
You know, I don't think that anybody thinks a viral moment is a viral moment in the moment, do they? If they do, they're smarter at it than I am, because I was completely preoccupied with how do I still get answers to serious questions, which is why we're there, and is this dog thing going to keep going? And the one piece of good luck is that the Stella, and I'd love to make the sound from the movie, Stella did her barking routine at a moment of great seriousness. So when you have to watch this piece of virality, in most cases you get to hear a serious question, which is, does Barnaby Joyce, is he really happy with the place that Pauline Hanson is taking him to?
And you're no stranger to these viral moments. You were saying there that you never know when they're going to happen and what their impact is going to be. But you've had a few over the years, Sarah. I mean, where does this rank in the sort of oddest moments on air for you?
I think we have to give this number one, because there have been walkouts, and you know from your career that a walkout is a very rare thing, and it's instant drama. And the moment that it happens, they're almost all associated with people deciding to pluck at their microphone, snatch their microphone from their jacket or dress and storm out, which has been my happy / unhappy experience. Once with Clive Palmer on 7:30 and once more recently with Sidney Powell during the post-January 6th farrago. She got up and walked out.
She was a lawyer for Donald Trump, wasn't she? He was trying to do the big lie thing.
And that, as always with the walkout, the thing is, can you get them to come back? Clive Palmer didn't. Sidney Powell did.
Walkouts are always interesting, aren't they? They're very dramatic, but then you kind of think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for the next 5 minutes? But anyway, let's get on to your last things. Your last great TV show or series that you watched.
Can I just set the scene? Mm. It's a long working day. It's a very interesting working day, but it is definitely a really long one. It starts early, it gathers speed during the day, then we've got the show, and then you're full of adrenaline running around, trying to sort of bring yourself down so that you can get some sleep before doing it all again the next day. And so my viewing habits can be a little random, but at the moment I'm inside a very long series presented by Tom Hanks, which is about World War II. But the reason I'm watching it is because they've discovered all kinds of archive of World War II that I haven't seen before. So it's a way of looking and experiencing history without having to do a great deal of thinking. It's put together in a very narrative way. But mostly it's just these incredible, incredible scenes. Not the first couple of eps so much, Nick, but when it gets into the battles particularly in our region, which of course have such immense resonance with what's going on now. But also they've got all this fantastic archive of Germany and Japan during the war, and lots of this stuff's never been seen before. And we don't, I think, have a really clear picture in our heads of what life was like in Germany and what life was like in Japan during the war. So I found that very interesting. We know Tom Hanks has made great television and films about the Second World War. I am a bit of a fan of Saving Private Ryan and Band of Brothers in particular. And I love a submarine movie, Greyhound, which I rewatched the other day, a little bit of post-show, you know, come down.
Yeah, I am fascinated with the fascination in World War II. And is it simply that the conflict keeps on revealing itself to us? I remember when Saving Private Ryan came out, you know, Tom Hanks is great Spielberg epic. A lot of the people who'd stormed the beaches of D-Day had never told their stories before, and suddenly their sons and daughters started learning of the heroism that their fathers had undertaken. I mean, is that... It seems extraordinary, Sarah. 80 years on, we're still learning about World War II.
Well, I think so. I mean, it is, you know, it is the largest event in human history, isn't it? I think that's correct to say that it's the event in human history that included the most number of people, the largest impact to the largest number of people. So it's this vast event that the import of the lead up to is still obviously being debated fiercely by historians. And I find my interest in it is completely inexhaustible. And of course, right now we have, it's part of the reason why the episodes, which involve a lot of espionage, and I love everything with a bit of espionage in it, and there's some great spy stories inside the American campaign in the Pacific. And if you watch this archive of these battles in the Pacific, you could be in the Pacific now. It's, you know, the dynamics are absolutely immediately relevant.
Yeah, I mean, what you said about the Second World War being the largest event in human history, those are the precise words that Tom Hanks actually uses at the beginning of the show. No part of the globe is unaffected. The Second World War changed everything for all of us. Well, from the Second World War to another conflict, which I think is the subject of a great novel you've read recently.
This sounds suspiciously like entertain myself in my free hours by hardship and conflict, and I'm a little worried at the picture that paints. Can I say that I'm deeply frivolous for 90% of the time? So this is Chimamanda Ngozi's book, Half a Yellow Sun. The backdrop for this is the Biafran War. Now, part of the reason for my interest in this is that I was born in Lagos, Nigeria, just before the outbreak of the Biafran War. And so it was sort of imprinted on my childhood as an event that relates to me in some way, which it barely does, of course. But as journalists, we're interested in it. It was the first famine shown on television. So pictures of the babies in the part of Nigeria that seceded from the bigger country that was obviously a creation of British colonial powers. That's when we first saw starving children on our television screens. I didn't really understand, and, you know, watching that as a piece of journalism, all the kind of skullduggery that went behind it from the colonial powers. You've got Russia and the UK on one side, you've got France and Israel on the other. Oil, obviously, everyone wants to get their hands on the oil. But this is the most extraordinary story about love as well. It's the characters in it are extraordinarily beautifully drawn, and you feel like you're in their world from the first few moments of the book. And it is, there's a series of relationships that's intertwine in the story with these extraordinary events going on in the background. So really it's a story of human happiness, human loss, love, against the backdrop of extremity.
Mm. I need to give that book another go. I read it about 10 years ago, and I maybe my expectations were just so high, but I was slightly disappointed. But so many people love that book. They adore that book.
Is it the terrible hammer blow of something being recommended so heartily to you that by the time you get to see if it isn't War and Peace or Anna Karenina, you're furious after three pages. Like, what's all this about?
The hammer blow of recommendations. That is a good way of putting it. And Sarah, the last great art show that you saw.
So, Time for Joy. And this is the wonderful Australian of Sri Lankan Tamil heritage sculptor and ceramicist and painter, all-round extraordinary, wonderful artist, Ramesh Mario Nithyendran. So he is this exuberant sculptor who creates these colourful, messy, crazy, funny, but beautiful pieces of art. And he had a show in his studio. A lot of his work is very glossy. This is him working in matte, but he makes these incredible plinths for them with themselves with imagery on them, and then these big, crazy colourful, but very beautiful, beautifully shaped objects. And so we're just walking around his studio, and there's all of his sketches, his paints, his messy paints everywhere, his kiln, and then the great figure of Ramesh himself, who is like 100 lives balled up into one. Ramesh is all energy and creativity. If there's a show on and you get to see a bit of Ramesh, it will make you grin from ear to ear and be lifted up out of whatever else is going on in your life. So he's all joy. Joy, joy, joy.
Well, we could do with a bit of joy, 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 for certain. And I think you brought quite a lot of joy, joy, joy to a few people this week. They got a good laugh out of seeing Barnaby Joyce shouting at his dog. Sarah Ferguson, thanks so much for sharing your last things with us on Saturday Extra.
It's my pleasure.
Wow. And that interview with Sarah Ferguson, in which Barnaby Joyce shouted at Stella, his dog, has really got you going on the text line. Working dogs aren't pampered pooches, says one of you. I live in the bush and have never shouted at my dog, says another. Stella more sense than Barnaby. A few people have noted that. Nick, barking is the job description of many of the Japanese Spitz breeds. I was talking about how my dog barks when I get up on a Saturday morning to come in to present the show, and how that wakes up the household. And some of you are sending in the most beautiful pictures of your dogs. A lot of you are obviously dog owners. And I know a lot of you actually listen to the show while you are walking your pooches. I think that is fantastic. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your company this morning. Thanks, as ever, to the Saturday Extra team. Executive producer Belinda Summer, Nicole Kirby, Nick Baker, Linda Lopresti, and studio engineer Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. Rear Vision is up next. This week's episode is about our understanding of slavery and how it's changed over time, and why it's often still portrayed mistakenly as a thing of the past. I'm Nick Bryan. It is Saturday morning in Australia. That is my favourite time. Have a great weekend.